Have you ever wondered what was going on between the ears of your crush? Ever wondered where things are going with the guy you're dating? Are you dissatisfied with your love life? Are you happily attached but still want to improve things? If so, you have come to the right place. I am proud to share with you that your search is over. You are now listening to
What Is He Thinking?
What is he thinking?
What is he thinking?
The Dating and Relationship Podcast for the benefit of women from the perspective of men. And now, without further ado, your host, Alexander B. Stevens.
Season 2, Episode 8, Episode 30 overall. Let's go. What's going on? This is Alexander B. Stevens, the host to your favorite podcast entitled What Is He Thinking? This is the podcast where we do something strange in 2022. We actually tell you the truth because we're trying to help you. We're not trying to swindle you by telling you what you want to hear. I know that's a little strange, but that's what we do around here, and that's what we're going to continue to do this episode. This episode is a follow-up to the previous episode in which I told all of my listeners to check out a book entitled His Needs, Her Needs. Today, we are going to examine the His Needs portion of that book with a little Alexander B. spin to it. But I don't want to do it alone, so I brought a guest with 15 years of successful marriage experience and who just had an anniversary 2 months ago. This will be his second time on the show. I'd like everybody to welcome Mr. Reyes J. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. So how you doing, Mr. Stevens?
I'm trying to keep my head above water. You know how it is.
Yes.
Trying to preach the gospel to these young women. Trying to set them on the right path. So, His Needs, Her Needs.
Yes.
Like I said earlier, this book is divided into five needs that primarily men need in a marriage. Five needs that women would prefer are met in a marriage. But right now we're only going to talk about the five needs for a man because that's the subject. That's the whole modus operandi. That's the way this whole podcast works. I'm telling you.
Well, all right.
What men like, what we think, and what we want from the male perspective. So.
Yeah.
So the first relationship need that the author presents in his book, and these needs are not necessarily in any order as far as hierarchy. The first need is bedroom fulfillment. I'll just say it that way. I mean, this is pretty obvious to me, but, you know, if a guy isn't being satisfied in the bedroom by his woman, then he kind of doesn't want to be with the woman.
Yeah.
He's kind of thinking like, what am I doing exactly here? Why am I paying these bills? Why? What? So let me get this straight. You wanted me to swear off all other women on earth and then you're not going to give me any? What? How is this fair? So what do you think about need number one, Reyes?
Oh, I think it's definitely important, but I think that should be at least number one on the men's list and maybe replace number three or two on the women's list. I think that's one of the main problems.
Hey, don't give them too much now. I don't want to tell the whole book and then they're not going to read it for themselves.
But mostly when we talk about sexual stuff, we almost just tend to be for the men's, not even thinking that, hey, women are sexual creatures themselves. You know, it's still a little bit taboo for even a woman to talk about her sexuality. So, but, you know, women, I mean, I know I'm going to keep it PG-13, but women get horny too, you know what I mean? Like, they can't say that they like sex as much as men, because that's almost whorish, you know?
Well, you know, Cardi B would disagree with you. Meg Thee Stallion doesn't have any problem letting you know, about her desires.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've heard the WAP, when people look at that video or anything like that, the sexual innuendos, they tend to look at them as, you know, a little bit less than a woman, or I go back to my other original word, whorish.
Interesting.
Because most women, they like to talk about sex the same way that men do, but even though they like it about as much as men do.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Seems like all you want to do is talk about women, though. We're supposed to be speaking about this from the male perspective. So let me throw a couple things in here as far as this number one need of sexual fulfillment. Men definitely despise when women do this or even the thought of this, and that is using triple X activity as a tool of control, like using it as a carrot. Hey, if you want some, do this. If you want some, do that. Build this, fix that, or you ain't gonna get any. And the guy kind of feels like, I've already done enough to become your husband. I've already, you know what I'm saying? This should be guaranteed. I shouldn't have to do extra stuff to get what is quote unquote owed to me. You know what I mean? So men don't like to be manipulated with sex, especially by their significant other. And also most men aren't really down with a bunch of rules in the bedroom. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, most of us in our generation and the younger generation have been exposed to some stuff on the internet. And we've seen some stuff, and some of us kind of want to try that out and see how it feels. How does it feel? So it'd be nice if there was the woman that you love, the woman that you promised to die for, if she wasn't like missionary only. You know what I'm saying? I'll just put it like that.
I think that's the problem.
What do you think?
I don't know. I don't have that problem. Me and my wife, we tend to have some sexual fulfillment a lot, then at least try to get our normal fair share. But yeah, I don't like women who try to use sex as a way to manipulate, especially to manipulate men. Sex is usually can be used to encourage. Mm-hmm. I don't mind being encouraged by sex every now and then, especially if it's some of that that special kind of sex. You know what I mean? Like every now and then, if you know how to talk to your woman about your sexual stuff, you know, doing one of the freaky things that you saw in those triple X movies, it might not be so bad if it's talked about between you. I mean, come on, nobody likes to get surprised, you know.
Sneak attack.
You know, yeah. You know, especially if you're trying to go thing like that, you know what I mean? Or, you know, whatever right. Floats your boat.
All right, on that note, I think we need to move on to need number two, as we try my hardest to keep this conversation PG-13 at the worst. And
yeah, you're good.
The second need that the author says that men have in a marriage or serious long-term relationship is recreational companionship. Now, what is that? That is men like it when their number one woman enjoys doing leisure activities with them. You know, if he's into sports, she doesn't have to be into sports as much as him, but she can't hate sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that would, it's almost unattractive.
If he goes to 10 games a year, it'd be great if she went to 3 with him. You know what I mean? Like, if he's into cards, it'd be nice if she would play cards with him. You know what I mean? Whatever the leisure activities are, however he likes to be entertained. She doesn't have to do everything that he's into, but if she can do half the stuff that he's into half the time, then a man's going to fall in love. You know what I mean? But if she's hating on everything that he likes to do, you know, why are you playing video games again? Why are you watching that game again? Why are you at the bar again? You know, why don't you do that with your friends? I don't want to do it. Go play golf with your friends. Well,
yeah.
He's always going to be with his friends. He ain't going to be around the house. He's going to be mad that he's never around. And then one day, one of those...
What if you find out one of them friends is woman?
Yeah. One of them friends might bring a friend who doesn't use the restroom the same way as he does. And all of a sudden, that's the mistress number one. So recreational companionship.
Which is very important, I think. You know, if you want to, we want to spending time together. You're going to have to learn to spend time doing things I like to do as well as vice versa. But seeing as recreational companionship's on my list and not yours, it's more important to me.
Yeah. So talk about you and your wife, and what are some of the things that you're into that she also shares with you or joins you while you're doing it?
Well, one of the main ones is she became a Braves fan just watching, us going to games and her tagging along. She didn't know a lot about baseball. She knows a lot about baseball now.
Hold on. Are you talking about the World Championship Atlanta Braves? Is that the team you're referring to?
Oh, yes, yes. Let me retort. yes, I am talking about those same World Champion Atlanta Braves.
Oh, okay.
Go Braves.
All right.
Chop on.
Mm.
But yeah, so now she knows a lot about baseball. She even watches baseball sometimes, or even softball when I'm not around. Because now she done figured out what's going on, and you know, she loves the sport about as much as I do. She doesn't know all the as much as I do, but at least knows enough to, you know, participate in the conversation about it.
And that's all you need, right? Like, you don't need her to be a sports nerd, just halfway interested in a companion.
And then I think also, you know, for women to start liking, you know, most men like sports. I mean, 90% of the guys I know, everybody loves sports. They have a sports team and everything like that. But, you know, just like in a football game, you know, I think even when a woman is with us, you know, using good proper time management helps out also. Like, you know, don't ask me a question during the most important part of the game or anything like that. You know, utilize those timeouts. When they take a 20, that's your time to ask me all your questions.
Yes.
When they...
If you got to go to the restroom, don't get up right when he snaps the ball and walk in front of me. No, that's not going to work. I need you to wait after somebody gets tackled and they got that 20 seconds of dead time. Then you can go ahead and...
And see, when they learn that kind of etiquette, you know, just being around, that's not even like, man, you're just doing that because I'm, you know, I'm a sports nut, but that's just proper etiquette. You wouldn't want me to get up in the middle of your favorite movie or something and get stand in front of you and ask you a question about how it is, do you?
Yeah, you're watching a rom-com with your woman. It's the apex of the movie. You just pop up and want some popcorn, or you start being loud. You walk out the room. So, where do you think this guy got his jeans from? Just some random question that has nothing to do with the plot. Like, would you like that, lady?
Exactly.
Probably not.
You know what I mean? So, you know, utilizing proper time management when you're learning this stuff too also helps. You know, but I think, I think men would like you to be around, but not into. You know, I love my woman's presence while I'm there watching the game, but, you know, I'm into the game. That doesn't mean I'm not into you.
Yeah.
Just right now. Please allow me to be into this game. And I'm pretty sure if you figure out what's going on, you'll be into it too.
Yep, I agree with that. Recreational companionship, just doing things that he likes to do socially, leisure-wise, recreationally, doing them with him. You know, don't make him out.
And plus, you never know. You might like it.
You know, if you never tried it, how do you know you don't like it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, most women who don't like sports is only because they don't know what's going on. Most women I know, once they learn sport and then, heck, you know, they start learning the plays and stuff. When they know what's going on, they're into it now. I mean, into it too.
Yep. And for you ladies that are dating and haven't really made it to the serious relationship phase, like, if you pretty much hate all of his leisure activities and everything he likes to do for fun... Then that
gonna make it hard to spend time together.
That could be a sign that y'all aren't for each other. You know what I mean? Could be a sign.
And he starts making up excuses for everything you want to do.
Yeah.
No, I can't go to that with you. That concert, I got to go cut my toenails. You know, when you'll start getting the idea.
Exactly.
But I do think it goes vice versa. That, you know, most men, because you're their woman, they're gonna spend time with you.
Yeah, but. You know, how much more time could you spend together if your leisure activities can be shared together?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just end things.
Makes it more fun.
End things on that one and move on to number three. The third thing on his list of the top five needs the majority of men require in a serious long-term relationship is... Before I say this one, I'd just like to remind you once again.
Disclaimer.
This podcast is actually about telling you the truth and being honest. It's not about making you feel good and lying to you and pandering to you. I know I say that pretty much every episode, but I just got to remind you that I'm here to give you the truth, not here to make you feel good. I want you to be good. I want you to do better, not just feel good for the short time period. Anyway, number three need, an attractive spouse. Speak on it, Reyes.
Oh, man, this is a very important one. But, yeah, I think it is kind of sexy when your spouse trying to remain attractive to you. Everybody should have an attractive spouse, but that spouse should be attractive to you. You know, everybody always thinks it needs to be the best-looking woman ever. I mean, yeah, that's good, but what do you want? You know what I mean? Not every guy's, you know, what's attractive to me might not be attractive to you.
Yep.
And plus, the one main thing about looks is that looks are fleeting, you know. One thing that we're never going to get over or never going to defeat is Father Time. Boy.
Undefeated.
And so a lady's looks, no matter how you think she looked or how bad she looked in high school, she's not going to look at going into her 30s and 40s. You know, there's almost a 95% chance she won't. And so in our relationship, like in my relationship, what I think I find attractive about my wife has changed. You know what I mean? I'm not saying she's not beautiful to me, but, you know, what's beautiful to me now is that, you know, she had my 3 kids for me and, you know, she supports me in what I do and got my back, you know. And I love her body for even the changes that she done took now. But with that, you're going to talk about your spouse. But I'm still attracted to her.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just whatever I'm attracted to now just changed. It's not just looks. Because you just keep it on looks. I mean, once your looks start going down, the relationship will start going down.
Yeah, if it's only looks, then definitely it's going to inevitably go down. But hey, we're focused on looks here. So number 3, need an attractive spouse. What does this mean? You know, stay in shape. Or get in shape, or get in better shape. Keep up with your appearance. Just because you've had a couple kids doesn't mean you don't get your nails done anymore. Just because we have gained 10 pounds doesn't mean all we do is wear muumuus. You know what I mean? You can still dress stylishly.
Yeah.
And we all know that Father Time's undefeated looks will go down. But if there's a graph of your looks from whatever your peak was to where you are now, is it a gradual slow decline that you wouldn't notice unless you looked at a picture from 20 years ago? Or is it a steep decline and you just gained 50 pounds and chopped your hair off and quit brushing your teeth? You know what I mean? Like, what is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Men, how attracted we are to our spouse gives us energy. It gives us the will to do what we do.
Well, Bill's excited, you know what too. I mean? You want to go home. I mean, you want to get some of that number one need we talked about, you know, that makes that, you know, better. And plus, I think trying to take care of yourself is sexy. You know what I mean? You know, when you see a woman that take care of herself, it ain't really about, you know, she can look good. But I mean, if you don't take care of yourself, but, you know, a woman who tries to take care of herself, even when you see that, like you see a woman trying to exercise or, you know, going to get her nails done still and doing little small things just to keep herself up. That's sexy. That's real sexy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But I'm speaking from a person in their 30s, you know, the 80s generation baby.
80s babies.
Yes.
I ain't mad at you. But, you know, just back to looks. Women need to just remember and remind themselves of this, that a guy, you know, you can call it shallow or whatever, but he probably would have never talked to you in the first place if he didn't like what you looked like.
Or something about you wasn't attractive to him.
You know what I mean? That's the thing that got this whole thing started. You know what I mean? In a previous podcast, you know, I used an analogy about, and I'll just repeat that analogy again, or at least another version of that analogy. Are looks everything? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be a nurse, you have to graduate college. And if you want to graduate college, you have to get into college. And if you want to get into college, you got to have a decent high school GPA and decent SAT, ACT. So just think of looks as your high school GPA and your ACT scores. Once you are in the nursing program, is anybody like talking about your ACT scores? No, but you would never become a nurse if your looks aren't good enough to get you into the college in the first place. You know what I mean? And if I may, let's extend that analogy to what we're talking about today. Let's say after you become a nurse, every so often you have performance reviews that involve you taking a short test. It's not only about being able to get good enough test scores so that you can get into school. You must also have good enough test scores once you have the job in order to score high enough on your progress review to keep the job, or at least keep the manager from looking at you sideways so you can have a pleasant working environment. Keep that in mind. You know, we expect a decline, but we don't want a drastic one. As long as you're truly trying and you haven't thrown the towel in and given up, we're fine. Now, that's something, you know, this might be politically incorrect, but by now y'all should know that I don't care about that. Look at your family photo albums and look at your grandma, ladies. How many kids does she have and how much weight does she gain from all those kids? And then nowadays, look at women. They have 2 kids, 3 kids max.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 25 pounds a kid for the average woman.
Wow, man.
But granny had 5, 6, 7, 8. And it was 2 pounds per kid. So tell me how that, and she had less money, less medical knowledge, no gyms, Like, how did that work? You know what I mean? So, ladies, just be cognizant of that and no excuses. Please keep up with yourself.
Well, you know, once they have them babies and their bodies and stuff, they're going to change. I mean, that's a given. But if you want to look to the future, look in those pictures.
You talking about for the fellas?
No, for the women.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking to the fellas. If they want to know what their woman's going to look like, a good indication of the future is to look towards the past.
Mm. I hear you on that. All right, let's move on to need number four. Top five needs that a man requires or has in a serious relationship or marriage. Number four is domestic support. Domestic support. Now, I know society has changed and women are working more now than ever. So I guess theoretically, you know, some of the domestic duties should be split. Side note, I wonder why none of the outside the house duties are split. If both people were working, why are we only splitting these domestic indoor duties? But the outdoor duties are still on my back. I still got to mow. I still got to wash these cars. We're not splitting those. So this seems a little unfair, but that's off the subject. Let me get back to the subject.
Yeah.
Men need, love, and desire domestic support. We love a woman who can cook well, who will cook regularly. It doesn't have to be our favorite thing on earth, but she can't be complaining while she's doing it either. We love a woman that's nurturing to us and the kids. We love a woman that can take the lead in the just the daily management of the household. Susie has practice on Tuesday. Johnny has a recital on Thursday. Some of the, you know, intricacies of how the family's going to work. It'd be nice if the woman could take the lead on that.
If she needs to.
If it's required, absolutely. And, you know, like I just alluded to before, yeah, sure. In most families, both husband and wife works. But we still, in a perfect world, would prefer the woman to take the majority of the domestic duties as opposed to us.
Oh, yeah. I just hate doing them. I mean, it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing personal. I just hate doing them.
And, you know, personally for me, now this doesn't apply for all men, but just for my in my life, I felt like I just did. Basically, my parents worked all the time and basically did nothing around the house. So it was all on me as a firstborn and my siblings to keep the house clean and all that. You know, they cooked, but as far as washing and cleaning anything, that was all on us. So I felt like I've already washed enough dishes for a lifetime. So I'm not trying to be washing dishes every day when I'm in a marriage, but hey, that's just me.
Yeah, me, I made sure I taught that skill to my kids early on. So I can, I mean, that's what I had to do growing up. They're no better than me. Mm. They got to wash dishes too.
Yeah, that's right.
But things like when it comes to cooking, like I like cooking, you know, every now and then.
Me too. Every now and then. That's the key phrase. Every now, once a week, twice a month. But unfortunately, the way these stomachs work, they want to eat every day. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of weird. So me cooking once a week, and the stomach's wanting to eat every day, that doesn't match up. So what are we going to do the rest of these 6 days? Are we going to go to McDonald's and watch our hearts explode? Or is somebody going to cook something at the house?
I know the crazy part about that, Stevens, is that, hey, now they made a law that you have to feed your kids. There's some rule, though.
Yes. What happened to...
Wait, I thought it was my choice.
Sending them to bed on an empty stomach when they screw up. What happened to the good old days?
I'm going to start a new slogan. My kids, my choice.
All right. I don't want you to get my podcast ripped off the air. So we're going to have to...
No, but I think just being... If you're just being an attentive guy, like not expecting me to do it, but if you're attentive, I mean, every now and then you might see that your wife is having trouble or, you know, just helping out every now and then.
Yeah. I'm definitely not saying a man should do nothing, but women just need to know that we love it when y'all are doing it. And we definitely want y'all to do it more than us, whether it's, you know, 60-40, 70-30, or 80-20, as long as y'all got the majority, most of us are going to be happy.
But on another note, I remember a time that my wife did try to cut the grass for me.
How'd that work?
One of her first times, she got it done. But she realized how hard it is to go out there and just cut, you know, cut a front and back line and mm-hmm. a yard and every now and then. That, you know, it's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm cooking every day, but you only mow once a week. All right. Well, let's switch roles for a week and you'll be begging for your old jobs back. How about that? You'll be begging.
You know, so, and then, you know, at times I like cutting the grass. That doesn't bother me, you know. It was just having time to get to it. But, you know, after that, you know, she really saw it was hard. And not saying she doesn't want to do it, but now she knows what goes into doing it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I was grateful. But I was, but I like the, I like, what do you call it? Would that be initiative? I like the initiative or the stance she took of just trying it out and realizing.
So she didn't tell you, she just did it behind your back or whatever? And
no,
you
she
came
home me.
And she was struggling or what?
No, she wasn't struggling. I mean, she got it done. Mm. But, you know, she was tired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not something that's that easy.
You didn't go out there and be like, you didn't weed eat?
Yeah.
These lines are crooked. I need you to bag these grass clippings. You let her off easy, huh?
Yeah, but I think that's one of those expectation things. Like, that's one of the things you talk about kind of early in your relationship when you see you're going towards, you know, leaning towards marriage and stuff like that. That's something you should talk about.
No, I definitely agree with that. I feel like way too many people have kids with other people that they don't know anything about, or they get proposed, they get engaged to folks, and they hadn't talked about anything serious. You know what I mean?
You know.
Like, you know, how many kids do you want? You know what I'm saying? How are we going to divide these domestic chores? You know what I mean? How often, you know, are we cleaning this, and how often are we cooking? And, you know, do you want to have the best lawn on the street, or the lawn just good enough so the city doesn't find you? Like, what are the standards here? What are we doing? Are you a hoarder, or are you not a hoarder? You know what I'm saying?
But there's all kind of stuff. I think, yeah, talking about in the beginning is what's most important. Because, I mean, we can get the grass cut, but who says I have to do it, you know?
All right, let's move on to the last and final need that the book talks about that men have. And that is the desire for admiration. Admiration. So before I finished this book, you know, I was like, okay, I just know that one of these needs is going to be respect, because that's all men talk about. And, you know, men would prefer respect. If we had to choose between respect and love, give me respect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we feel like somebody can't love us without respect. So I was just looking for respect on this list. And
not there, wasn't it?
Once I finished the book, I didn't really, once I looked through the table of contents, I didn't see respect.
I know, it must have been number 6.
Yeah, then I started checking out this admiration. And the way I read the...
We're not worthy.
The way I read the chapter is basically, you know, admiration is respect plus direct and indirect ego stroking and positivity with the absence of disagreeableness and nagging.
Can't stand no nagging.
So you mix those things together, and that is admiration. So the way I read it, respect is kind of built into this.
Yeah.
What do you think about having admiration as a need in a serious relationship?
You know, I'm about the same as you. I didn't think about admiration that much as far as I'm. But now that I'm thinking about it, it's nice to have. You know, I mean, most guys are not egotistical, but we do have egos. And every now and then, you know, it's good to have your ego stroked with even with your woman telling you, you know, what does she admire about you, or, you know, what does she admire being with you and stuff like that.
Or what does she appreciate that you do or have done?
Yeah. And when I'm talking about something that you and just you do, you know, that you do for, you know, like, it can't be money, because you can get money from anywhere. You know, what do you really admire about me? Is it my drive? You know, is it my good looks?
Or, you know, the structure that I lead this family with, or, you know, my vision, or
is it the way that I encourage you?
Yeah.
Or do I push you to get better? You know, do I encourage you to get better? You know, that's something you can admire in your man.
Yes.
So that's what that's the way I look at it. Though, what does your woman admire you for? But I think any man would like to be admired in a way. Like I said, it does do something for a man's ego, and, you know, if you're a woman, that goes back to, you know, just support. I don't think it's you're bowing down to us or anything like that. We're not worthy. I don't think it's none of that kind of stuff. But,
yeah,
you know, actually, you know, almost being proud of your man, you know.
Exactly.
You walk out your house or another woman sees your man, like, yeah, that's mine right there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I see it, as admiration for your spouse. And I think we should have a little bit of that. It's not a bad thing, or even a shallow thing for a man to expect that from you.
And ladies, if you don't have that, you know,
there may be the problem.
As an indication that we have a Houston, we have a problem here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do they call that? That's one of the red flags, you know?
Yes, red flags. For sure. Anyway, so those were the five things that were discussed in the book. And I think this book is one of the best relationship books I've ever read. Millions copies sold. And it's definitely something you guys should check out. You got any final words about what we talked about today, Reyes?
Yeah, man. It's always cool to have standards, but find out where you're getting these standards from. I mostly find out the most important thing about being in a relationship is just communication. You know, commuting everything. Are we comfortable enough to communicate? Are we comfortable enough to talk about the sexual stuff, the domestic stuff? You know, and then if you really want to be with that person, that's the kind of stuff you're going to put up with. But when you want to know what you want to put up with up front. So it's always about communication in any kind of relationship.
Yep, for sure.
But it's crazy. One person we want to be with in love is the one person we have trouble talking to. God works in a mysterious ways.
Yeah, it doesn't make that much sense. It is what it is. But definitely, I really like that point you made about wouldn't it be nice to know what you got to deal with up front?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad thing.
One of my pet peeves is when people, and this is relationships or anything, people complain about something that's always been. You know, like, it's always been this way. But after 5 years, now you're going to complain about it? No. I'm throwing a yellow flag on that. That is a penalty and unacceptable.
No, that's a red flag.
You can complain about new stuff that comes up that you don't like.
Or that you didn't know about.
Something you didn't know about. Or let's say that this is something that's always been, but you complained about it on day one. So I guess you can continue to complain about it. But what you can't do is if up front I let you know what it is and you're giggling, you're kikiing, and you're cool with it. And then 5 years later, all of a sudden, nothing's changed on my behalf, but all of a sudden, you're not cool with it. Now we got a problem. That's trash to me.
Yeah, because if I tell you up front what I do consistently, you can't be mad that I do it consistently. You know what I mean?
You know, like, it seems so simple, but yet so profound. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like me, I have a habit of just leaving my socks around, like, wherever I take them off at. That's just, I've been that way since I've been a teenager. It has nothing to do personally. Mm. But now, 16, 15 years later, my wife just accepts it.
It took her 15 years to accept it, but she's finally got to the point.
No, she's to the point where this is what it is, you know what I mean? Like, he really is going to be consistent with this. Yes.
Like, I thought he'd grow out of this, but he's about to turn 40 or, you know, and he's still doing it. So, I guess this is what I signed up for.
I love him, so I guess I'll go ahead and pick these up.
Yeah, I admire the way he lays those socks. the way he crumples those socks up in the corner so I can barely find them. I admire his consistency. Yeah, there we go. I admire the consistency.
That's what I'm talking about.
Anyway, it was great having you on, Reyes. We're definitely going to bring you back on the show at another time. And my audience appreciates your knowledge, wisdom, and humor.
All right. It was a pleasure being here, Alexander Steven.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You too.
Well, there you have it. His needs examined. Once again, those list of needs according to the author were sexual fulfillment, recreational companionship, an attractive spouse, domestic support, and admiration. The more a woman does to make sure or to ensure that these five needs are taken care of to the best of her ability, the better off things will be in her love life. There you have it. Until next time.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the podcast. Alexander B. thanks you for taking time out of your day to listen to what he has to say. Hopefully, you feel the information shared today has helped you get one step closer to understanding men and one step closer to the type of relationship you have always dreamed of. If this episode spoke to you or you indeed felt that it was helpful, please share it with your friends and followers on social media and text the link to the episode to your inner circle of friends. If you have a future topic suggestion or need any clarification about anything that was shared during this episode, feel free to email the show at whatizhethinking@gmail.com or follow and DM the show on Instagram at whatizhethinking_podcast. Be clear and concise with your message, and Mr. Stevens will do his best to accommodate you. Once again, we appreciate you lending us a listening ear, and we hope your tomorrow is better than your yesterday. Enjoy the rest of your week. the podcast that is here to help you win with men. Signing off. Until we speak again.